Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, we got a big one. Breaking news from Shams Charania of ESPN. Let's do the rundown. According to Shams Charania of ESPN, for the first time, the Memphis Grizzlies are entertaining offers to potentially move two-time All-Star Ja Morant ahead of the February 5th NBA trade deadline. Is the current report. A little more color, he adds. Multiple teams are pursuing Morant in trade talks, and rival executives believe the Grizzlies would prioritize draft picks and young players in return, sources said. He goes on to add one final note. Memphis is considering multiple paths forward and the emergence of several promising young players, including building around them in 2023 Defensive Player of the Year, Jaren Jackson Jr. The Grizzlies also remain open to continue on with Morant as a focal part of their retool. So, this does not necessarily mean that Ja Morant will be traded. I think it obviously means that they are open to that, and that signifies a shift, right, Jason? Because what, 2 years ago, last year, I don't remember exactly when it was.
Last year.
It
was the Howard Beck podcast thing, I think, that started it, what became enough of a sort of uproar for Zach Kleiman to have to address it.
Yes. Correct.
It was last year.
So it's a shift from we'll never trade Ja Morant to we're open to trading Ja Morant. We've been talking about this for the last 3 days on this show. If you guys haven't been able to pick up on maybe the commentary, this has been going on behind the scenes, obviously, with the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant. And, you know, I don't know how much I can say on it other than I don't think it's necessarily over, as Shams says. Like, they're not, you know, we saw the Trae Young deal, for example, right? It was C.J. McCollum and Kispert. The Grizzlies will not trade Ja Morant for that. They just won't. I mean, they're not going to do that. There's really no incentive for them to do that. I don't think it's a desperation, like, we have to get him away from our team kind of thing. You know, they're just not going to give him away because I think they recognize, too, Jason, like, yeah, he's our star.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, you know, we know how fans feel about him. We can't give him away for scraps. So I think that's the challenge here, is that you are open to trading him, but you're only open to trading him if the price is right. Whether the price will be met remains to be seen on Ja Morant.
Well, I don't think you get this far, though, without having to pull the trigger at some point, even if the price is bad. I mean, at this point, you've stayed to the whole league. This is over, just like Atlanta did. You did it when you didn't get the – I mean, now we can look back and say you did it when you didn't give them the contract extension. But really, more so, and here's the important part, Ja did it.
Yeah.
Because Zach Kleiman, after not giving him the contract extension, says this is a big year for Ja. We all knew why.
Right.
He had to prove the availability, and Ja came into the season saying as much. I mean, isn't there a quote out there about 82 games? I think maybe it was sort of a throw-off and off the cuff, but he knew what was at stake. I got to show him that I'm going to be out there. And here you are, having only played in 18 games. You're about to miss your 20th tonight. And obviously some of it now, we know, probably you could have played the at least, you know, maybe one or two of these last ones. You were listed as questionable. But that's the thing. Is He put the Grizzlies in this situation. We always said going into this season, I certainly did, that if it was going to work with Ja, it was going to require patience. Ja was showing us when they were 3-2, right, that patience that we thought was going to have to be there for a while as this team transitioned through to a new look, already gone?
Yep.
Like, what do you mean? We're already this frustrated? You just said you liked Isolo. You just said things were going well. Your numbers look pretty good. What are we talking about here? And so back to the point. The franchise needed to know that it could trust him it has not, he has not given the franchise enough this year to be able to say that. He has forced their hand, John, is my point. So there will be some, it's not going to be Luka and that fan base. Mm-hmm. There will be some that, yes, we saw the pushback to us yesterday, even talking about this. Oh, man, y'all running Ja to town. He's still the best thing for the franchise. There will be some that say, oh, man, the Grizzlies blew this, right, and blame the Grizzlies here. But what I'm trying to tell you here is Ja Morant did this.
Right.
He gave you no reason to trust him in a as the foundational leader in a year that you said, Ja, you got to do it.
Yep.
You got to show us this year. You've fallen off the map in terms of the All-NBA stuff. We once thought we were ahead. Now we're behind. You got to get back out there. This has got to be that season. He even said it in the Nike campaign.
Yeah.
Big year coming.
Yeah.
Have to have it.
Yep.
So I'd bottom line it. He's forced their hand. And so I don't know that there'll be a swell of anger, you know, that comes close to what we saw in Dallas or anything else. Though I'm not dismissing the folks will be frustrated. Folks will be angry that box office, the guy we call box office, is gone.
Well,
it's unfortunate.
Nothing will compare. No trade ever in the NBA will compare to the Luka one, right?
Yes, but I bring it up because they didn't want to give him the extension off of a guy who had just led him to the finals.
Yeah, that was naive and stupid.
This is one
who doesn't play.
Who isn't on the floor.
Doesn't play. Yeah.
And so, can you fault them? Is my point.
You were about to go. I mean,
I thought in a different direction there.
No,
I interrupted you.
No. I was going to say, like, this is clearly like the organization is standing with Thomas Isolo. They are standing with Zach Kleiman.
But he's put them at the crossroads,
and they're saying, listen, right. we're these guys are here. These guys are in this. We know they're going to be here. They're flawed. They're imperfect. They're all these things, right? But they're here, and they're not moody, and they're not inconsistent, and they're not, you know, and here's the other part of this, man. And this is just, and again, I really lament the way this has gone, because I would have never thought it would go here. Like, we were talking about not being able to keep Ja. He's going to sign somewhere else in free agency. You know, like, are they going to be able to, is he going to stay in Memphis for his career? But he's gone from averaging 28 a game on 50% shooting from the floor to averaging 19 a game shooting 20% from three. Even when he does play.
Right.
You're not getting an all NBA guy. You're not getting an all star. You're getting a good player who you're giving max money to, who's flawed and who's in a bad mood all the time. I can't imagine it's easy to share a locker room with Ja Morant right now, because A, he's always pissed off at somebody, and B, he doesn't play. So I mean, yes, Jason, his inability to be out there, or his lack of want to be out there, whatever you want to say it is why we are here, more than anything else. That's why this situation has become untenable for the Grizzlies and Ja Morant. Now, they claim that they are happy, you know, through Shams, to you know, keep him on the team if a deal does not present itself. And I'll take them at their word on that. I do think that the deadline will, and we're going to take your calls, by the way. We're going to take your calls on this, because some of y'all were in disbelief. Y'all thought Jay were coming on here this week talking about a Ja trade, just willy-nilly out of the blue for no reason. Like, come on now. How long y'all been knowing us? You know what I'm saying?
I don't fault anybody being in denial about it, because at one point I said it. I was unequivocal just in terms of my belief in him. Right? We said, this is the guy you can't trade.
We didn't want to believe it.
You know, maybe some folks didn't want to hear it.
Right. No, I get that.
So, but yeah, saying you're crazy after what we've seen with the questionables and the downgrades and the in, the out, after what you saw when they were 3-2 and things were going well
at the
half. Like, connect. That's all I'm asking. Give us a little grace, if anything else. Don't just say, to that. But no, we're here. Forget that. I mean, we're here. This is the reality. We said this may be the reality. Clearly, you are here. Not just that you might get into this territory. I mean, you know. It's felt like these are the last days.
It absolutely
And that has. They were, especially in the wake of this trade news.
I mean, even going back to when he was suspended. I mean, the guy was suspended for a game the first 2 weeks of the season because he quit in the second half of the Lakers game. So, you know, why are we acting surprised? I understand. And that's like what we talked about with saying, like, they never have traded a guy of this caliber. So, I mean, they were, like, rallying for Rudy Gay down there. You know, so I know that there will be blowback for, let's be honest, a front office that ain't that popular, a coach that ain't that popular.
Well, also a front office that has not, there have been some moves. We'll see. The Bane move could end up being a great one, but has not fared well in terms of its Right. Trade record.
Correct.
Great draft on record. Second yeah, round wow, picks and draft record.
That's very true.
Not so great on trades. That's where we've questioned Zach Kleiman and in terms of his ability. Because you can point to a lot too. I can point a lot of Marcus Smart most recently, which
right.
are those wasted first round picks.
Yes. Yes. That that's move, a good point.
Go all the way back to Winslow.
Yes.
There have been some that were simple. I guess that's where they you know, he took over sort of control. They were talking about that year he's helping, you mentioned it, moving out Marcus Gasol.
Right.
But let's be real. The trade record hasn't been great. And so to back to your point, those fans that will say, oh, man, but is Zach Kleiman about to make the deal?
Right.
They don't have a great deal of confidence about that.
Yes.
It's a completely fair case.
But I would argue, my stance on this is that you find a tenable deal that works. I'm not saying you're going to get a star back. You're not going to get anywhere close to what Ja represents back, okay? Let's just get that on the front end. But if you get a pick, or you don't have to attach a pick, they're clearly not going to do that, right, Jason? Like, they're not going to send out Ja Morant and have to send out a pick. Like, it's not that desperate for them. I think that's kind of the point of Sham saying they're content to, you know, keep him around.
Well, you've got 2 years of control.
Correct.
That's the difference here. It's not a player option where if he didn't like where you were sending to him, the man could actually bail.
Exactly.
Which is not going to happen, obviously, with Trey, but that's the difference. You have 2 years of control, and you think some contender that knows, hey, we're not just renting him.
Yes.
We've got him. Hopefully it's something that works, and we'll talk about the extension. But it's going to be the same thing for him there. And maybe it'll just lock in. Remember what he did with the Jenkins stuff?
Yep.
And then he played.
Yep.
And he played well when Isolo came in. Maybe it'll look like that, but the point is you're going to have to continue it.
Oh, yeah.
You got to stay out there. Like, this could, again, become the next team's issue. Front offices are smart.
Yes.
They will get to this point of the discussion
and
say, can we do it? Can we trust him? Because that's where he's left the Grizzlies.
No, totally.
Unable to trust him.
But let me say, okay.
That's the bottom line.
Okay, so now
I'm
trying to trade Ja. So let me sell you on how it will work. Will you hear me out on this?
Yeah.
You don't have to do 8 years with Ja. Next team. You only got to get two really good ones out of him. And then you can make a decision from there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a team that's lacking a point guard
right
now,
this is where I say yes.
That's a contender that fancies yourself.
Which is better than a player option the next.
Ja Morant is going to play for you. He's going to be really excited to get there. He's going to be so excited to get out of Memphis and away from Isolo and the organization that he's going to – think about Ja Morant when he was at his best. It was when he had a chip on his shoulder, right, coming into the league. Well, he's got one now, again. So why don't you just give me a couple of picks, give me a couple of young players, and you can go, welcome to the dark again, baby. Welcome to the dark with 12. And he's a celebrity. He's a star. You'll be 11. He'll help you. But give me a couple picks and give me a couple players. And the Grizzlies will have made out, I would say, very, very well. I don't think there is no path for Ja Morant to be a player for this team anymore. That is over. Whether they keep him on the team, how they manage it, like Kirk Cousins is a backup with the Falcons, you know, when he's making $36 million and it was Penix's job.
Yeah.
That's going to be sloppy and messy, but it feels like this idea of Ja ever coming back to the Grizzlies, you know, everybody's like, oh, Europe. He doesn't give a damn. Nobody gives a damn about Europe. It was never about Europe. It was about figuring out the future with the Grizzlies and where that all stands. And I think that was mostly figured out. We'll see, again, if a deal presents itself. But I think if the Grizzlies can do that and they can get a couple picks or, you know, one pick and a couple players, given the health of this thing now, which is to say there is none, it's the only thing you can do.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, that's what Dallas did not do, and I know there are much more differences probably than similarities, but they didn't open it up. You know, they did this out of the blue, which, you know, shocked us all. But putting him out there, having Shams put the word out there, you know, does it create a better market for you now than working behind the scenes, which you could have still done, even though this was getting weird. We were connecting dots. Ja was getting pulled from lineup. You could have still hid behind contusion. Understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Wouldn't have been the shocker, obviously, that Luka was, but you still could have hid behind, oh, no, Ja's fine. We're not trading him. You could have come out at any point here and made that statement. I just wonder, does that also work the other way? Because now they know you're stuck, to John's point.
Yep.
Like, you can't bring it back. So does it work the other way in terms of your leverage putting him out there?
That's interesting.
Which way would you argue that?
I lean more towards it helps the Grizzlies, because if you wait until after the season, the urgency is not there for teams because the season is over.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That's
like
a good call.
If you get to February and you're in Miami or in Minnesota, you can convince yourself that, hey, we got to make a move to climb a rung in the race, and this is the best guy that we can have when he's at his best. I mean, dude, in fairness, it ain't that tough a sell. Well, this dude averages 25 a game in the playoffs.
Well, and he just had a 40.
He just had 40. Burger. The question is not his ability, 20. Really. I mean, it is and it isn't. Like the biggest question mark about Ja is like, okay, there's like three. It's availability, it's team chemistry with his moods, and then it's production. Like that's the order of like concerns I'd say about Ja. And I'd say there's a big gap between two and three. But if you're Minnesota, why would you not do this? If you're Miami, why would you not do this? I mean, I guess you could say we don't want to pay. We don't want to do the money thing. So we'll see. But I think the deadline helps the Grizzlies more so than hurts them.
I think you're right.
Because if you wait till the draft, you're really going to get a crap deal. Because everybody's going to want to keep their picks. The closer you get to the draft, you're doing the combine, you're seeing these guys in the gym, you're like, man, damn, this is a good draft class. And there's some studs. Think about all these guards.
Oh, I think, too, it's more about what we've seen here recently from Ja. He's not coming off of a major injury here.
Right.
You can tell yourself if you're that team, oh, no, it's still there. He was just done with them. You know, he'd made his decision. The team had made its decision. We just saw him score 40-something on 16 and 20. I need to go back and look at that line now. It looked like maybe it was a show. Ended up being a showcase. Weren't you there for that one, Brad?
I was.
The showcase game for the rest of the league. To say that the guys still got it.
Put that thing on tape and just show it to the team you're looking at, and it's
send the
it's
Philly
done.
Tape.
Dude, we
send
said, the, we, said, we said that comment from Kleiman about not turning Ja was last. It was last season.
Last season, last
towards it was the February end. Of 2025. I mean, it was literally not even a full year ago.
24.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I mean, we're here. It's
but thanks
we're
here. Things change very quickly in the NBA. So
it's 1 year.
You're almost 1 year
and
completely
and
almost.
Oh, that's correct. I know.
I just meant last season.
COVID
last
was
year.
6 years ago.
It's 1 year and more BS from Ja, frankly.
It was last year.
Yeah, Ja has not. I mean, it's been a very telling year,
both personally and professionally. Unraveling.
Here's my thing. I think this is important because, of course, his team might paint it a different way. Do y'all think he wanted to be here? Have we reached a point now where Ja doesn't want to be here?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Then there is no debate whether he's forced the Grizzlies. If Ja doesn't want to be here, there's no discussion.
I think Ja
about whether
I
it's
think,
the right or the wrong move
think,
or what.
I think Ja wanted
still
to be here. I think Ja wanted
when
to be
did
here
it change?
The, I think in the last couple, in the last
when,
month or so.
When he didn't get that extension, kind of. Right?
I still think he wanted to be here even after that. I think when he got suspended and things like that, like I think he still wanted to work through it. I think in the last couple of weeks, and I don't know what the impetus was. But it did shift in the last 3-4 weeks or so, and I don't think it's so much like, oh, I got to get the hell out of Memphis. I think he just wants a new place to go. I think he just wants a new start. He doesn't rock with the coach. He's wrong about it, but I don't think he believes that the organization has had his back, which they have, in every way, shape, and form, if we're going to just call balls and strikes. I'm not going to absolve the front office of everything because they have certainly made their share of mistakes.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Ja, they have handled that as well as you could hope anybody would handle it. But I do think he's motivated to get out as well. He wants to go play somewhere else. So, you know, again, it comes down to but again, the Grizzlies are saying, we're not giving you away for nothing. We need a partner. We need a deal. We're not giving you away for, you know, Bismack Biyombo. And we're just not. So... I you know, that's going to be the challenge here, but I do think that there will be a team that talks themselves in. I mean, Ja's a pretty easy player to talk yourself into.
Is it Minnesota?
Could be.
Who's topped out with what they have?
Yeah, I mean.
And knows they're not one of the elite of the West right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is it Milwaukee?
Could be Milwaukee. Could be, you know, they just got a double down from Giannis and I'm staying here. They got bad contracts, you know. I don't know how many. I guess they have some young players. That Rollins
Ryan
kid.
Hollins.
Now, you ain't getting him. They're not giving you Ryan Rollins. I don't.
Ryan Rollins, excuse me.
Yeah, I don't.
I said booty. I was talking about booty call. Excuse me. And he said, apologize for that because I said
right.
I would never call him
he
that
actually
again because he asked for that.
He has a trademark.
I still
if you say that, you his attorneys
Fine?
Will reach. No, I'm just kidding. That's
I'm sorry. I was about to say. I'm so sorry.
That's someone else.
Ryan Hollins.
But Ryan Hollins was very sensitive about being called booty call.
Oh, he almost wanted to not come on a radio. Yeah, because
and I had stopped, so I apologize. Because came back, okay. And I'm the one that said.
There's nothing wrong with being a booty call.
Ryan Rollins.
I would, if I was a single man, I would love nothing more than to be a booty call for somebody.
No, not as you age.
Yes. Because
you just.
No, I'm totally fine with that.
If I was single, Jason, you an idiot.
And they just want to like have me over, and then
you get some.
No strings attached, and then like we don't know each other tomorrow. Perfect.
That's been a long time.
You're fine with being a booty call, and you're married.
I think
I'm saying if I was single, if I was single. In fact, even as I'm married, how's that?
Because we would say for women, that's something you want to graduate out of. Remember, there's a movie about it and everything else, right? You would say that fairly. Out of being a booty call, but you're saying you would want to graduate into it, live in it.
You got to catch the divorce.
Single man, divorce women, sharp teeth.
They don't care.
Hungry.
The divorce women don't want to get married again. They just want no strings either. So that's what you got to do. You got to get the divorce women, you know? I'm just saying
lust is a powerful thing.
That would be my strategy if I was, and yes, I'm not, you don't have to be a stepmother to all my children, all my various kids. I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm married.
Yeah.
So that's separate of the discussion.
Should we take calls on this?
Let's talk. We're just talking.
The Grizzlies and Josh seem like they are certainly headed for divorce. And how does that make you feel as a Grizzlies fan? 445-0929. Is this the right move for the Grizzlies? Are they going to be making a mistake by not, you know, patching this up and doing everything they can to patch it up? Are they making a mistake by, quote-unquote, choosing Zach Kleiman and Tuomas Ysolo over Ja Morant?
I guess technically you're doing
That's what you're doing. I mean, it's not directly, but it is kind of. It's like, you know, you're not going to fire. I mean, they're not firing those guys.
I'm just saying, Danny Green said it wouldn't matter what coach you brought in here for Ja, if this dude's not opening up his ears. I'll just say that because there was one time where I thought maybe a certain kind of coach could reach him, and maybe that's the case. But I believe that more now.
Right.
When he says it.
Yes.
You know.
So anyway.
It might not have mattered who the coach was.
I agree with that. Come on.
When you don't get the. Yeah. I do think, though, John, I think a lot of this still might still be rooted in a feeling of, you know, that you come away that you had high hopes to get a contract extension.
Yep.
And when they say you haven't done enough, right, because that's what you're saying when you don't give it to them, essentially, that can hurt.
Yep.
That can sting.
Yep.
But to see it, I'm with you. I think he was still in afterwards, but I want to believe that that's where this was rooted.
Yep. 445-0929 is the number. How are you feeling? How do you feel about this story with Ja Morant and the Grizzlies? Take your calls when you get back. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
According to ESPN, for the first time, the Grizzlies are entertaining offers to potentially move two-time All-Star Ja Morant ahead of the trade deadline in less than a month. How does that make you feel, Grizz fans? 445-0929. We go to Al. Al, welcome to the show.
All right. Brad, Jason, booty call. How are you guys doing?
What's good?
Hey, man, it's tragic for me. I mean, I've supported and rocked with Ja, you know, ever since he came here, you know, the college, you know, just a great college career and what he brought to the city. But when it's time, and personally, you know, for me and my son, we just became season ticket holders this year. This has been the worst year for a new season ticket holder. I mean, yeah. I mean, our tickets that we're, you know, that we're paying, you know, $2,500 for the season, you know, per game, we could have, you know, we could get by with less than half of that, you know, because of all the deals they're doing. So it's tragic, but you know, man, I just love what, you know, what Cam is doing night to night, what Cedric is doing, and you know, can't wait for Zach to come back, but. I just have to say, you know, in my Bye Felicia voice, bye, Ja.
Man, tough crowd.
Man.
I get it, Al, though. I definitely understand.
Appreciate the call. I was going to say, I pray that those players you mentioned, the cowards in them, give you the return on investment you deserve,
yep.
You know,
yep.
And here in the future and whatever's coming. Yep.
445-0929.
All Grizzlies fans.
Ja Morant may be on the move. How does that make you feel? We go to Dom. Dom, you're on.
Hey,
Yo.
Oh, okay, yeah, appreciate y'all taking calls, man. Yeah, I think it was time. I'm gonna just say this. You know, I moved around a lot. I'm back in Memphis now. I think Memphians have always had a propensity to, like, hold on to old relics a little bit longer than we need to. Mm. So, I mean, it was good while it lasted. You know, even with all the controversy.
Thanks for the call, Don. I don't know what was going on over there.
He had
there.
To go see a patient, it sounded like. Yeah. It sounded like he was in the hospital.
I do understand that, you know, even surgeries have to be put on hold for
I appreciate
John Morant news.
I wonder, do we hold on to things so long because we know, you know, we don't get as much
yes.
here in Memphis.
That's
I
right.
think he's on to something.
Let me just say, too, before, you know, as we're doing this, one last midday show, they gave us a bomb.
Man.
They gave us a bomb. One of the, for the last midday show, the John Morant, we wouldn't have gotten the new time slot.
Oh, that's fair.
See
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Mm.
Wouldn't have gotten, this would have been Jeffrey and Company's.
Yeah, we would have been going off.
Yeah.
Because it hit right before noon, didn't it?
Yeah. So, we don't get a lot of these, obviously, but I'm glad we did get this one.
Calkins used to complain about it. Now,
yeah.
It might mean less breaking news.
That's right. That's right. We'll have to
more coffee, but less breaking news.
Let's go to Arnez. Arnez, you're on.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Hey, look. I've been telling my wife about this. You know, it's like we just got married. We just bought, I mean, we just had bought some John Morants for our wedding.
Mm.
Look, this had to, like I told her earlier, like I told her a couple months ago, like at some point the Grizzlies start have to ask these tough questions. We've asked these tough questions when we had Marc Gasol, when we had Zach Randolph. You know, at some point you got to, you know, like, do you want to keep a suit? Do you want to keep a superstar just for the sake of suit, just for the sake of having a superstar, just for the sake of ticket sales and merch sales, or do you want to win? Do you want to be a contender? You know, we've had y'all for what, 6-7 years, and we only got what, one playoff series win, and Ja's only 26. He's not hit his peak yet. But at the same time, you got to look around the league. Shea's only, what, 28? And look at what he's done. And I know us being a small market, we're not necessarily going to be the most attractive option for superstars. And we were lucky and blessed to have one to draft one and for him to come in and do what he did and bring the attention that he did to this city. But at the same time, you know, if you're not producing, you're useless. And for somebody who is a superstar to go so many seasons without playing 65 games, without playoff series wins, at some point you gotta ask, is it worth it? Or should we start building around the Cedric Cowers? Should we start building around the Cam Spencers? Should we start building around the Zach Giddies, the Scottie Pippins, Scottie Pippen Juniors, I mean. We always have to. Every team is faced with this every couple of years. Look at Atlanta; they just, you know, Trae Young,
right?
A staple there. They just had to let him go. We're no different. And personally, like I always figured Ja would either land in Miami. I always thought that he would be a fit there. You got Minnesota's an option, like. He's gonna land somewhere, and wherever he lands, I'm still gonna support him no matter what. He's always gonna be 12 here in Memphis.
Dig that, Arnez. Thanks for the
appreciate
call, brother.
The call,
appreciate
brother.
You. We got lots of people calling in 445-0929. We go to Marcus. Marcus, you're on.
Man, what's happening, fellas?
Yo.
What's up, Marcus?
Man, hey, John. When you got this time slot, I was cheering for you, brother. I met you at the Papa Shot.
My guy, appreciate you. We're still doing it, and then now we're moving again. So hope you'll follow us.
I will, for sure. And then, Jason, when you got your G-Wagon, man, I was so happy for you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Sir. Yes, sir. I'm so proud of y'all.
Are we going to be happy together post-Ja, my brother?
Man, look. So it wasn't fair to Taylor. It's not fair to Tuomas.
Interesting.
You got two superstars in Jaren and Ja. But when they can't be on the court together at the same time for multiple games throughout the season, it's not fair to the head coach. So I understand having to move on. I get it. So, but you have to get your worth. If you trade Ja, you have to get what he's worth, whether it be first round picks, whether it be another superstar point guard. You can't let him go for less than market value, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's obviously what the Hawks did with Trey. So I think that's going to be the part is
you
got to determine what the market value
is. The issue
is
how much has he lowered that value because of everything you said about the reason we're here now, because those other teams know too.
Yeah, injuries and soreness, and you're missing games because of this and that. But at the same time, if he goes to another team and he can perform for 62 games, who knows? You know, you're kind of limiting his value according to what his performance for the Grizzlies. But if he's, I feel like he's not insinuated to push himself because the Grizzlies haven't performed up to standards.
Right. Marcus, we got a few more, man. Thank you for the call.
Appreciate you, brother.
And the kind words, as always. 445-0929. We go to, not a G-Wagon.
Right, I was pretty sure he said G-Wagon. It's just a Jeep.
It's just a Jeep. But, you know, it's all about how you feel. It's all about how you feel.
Maybe he's prophesying.
I think GP has a G-Wagon. We go to David. David, you're on.
What's going on, guys? Good afternoon.
What's up?
Good afternoon.
Well, there's a lot going on back there, but I think we got you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I kind of hate to sound old school, man, but when I really think, man, what's going on in the league right now, you kind of reward these guys a little too early. You got LeBron that's 41 years old right now, man, still playing. As much as he can, he's not playing 82 games, but he's still playing at a high level.
Yep.
And we got a guy that's probably 20-something right now that hasn't been on the court consistently for even a whole season. So I think we did drop the ball. I know it's a new, different time and day, new league and anything like that, but in this day and time, I just think the guys that get, you know what I'm saying, a look, they get that money and they kind of settle down and they don't work as hard anymore. So I think it is time to move on from the job. I think the city would be great with these young, great young players that they have it on the floor consistently and try to earn a spot in the league. So I think it will be good.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the call, David. 445-0929. We go to Frank. Frank, you're on.
John, what's up, my friend?
Hey, dog, what's up?
You know, when is the last time that John Morant was a superstar?
You know, I mean, I would probably say the first 9 games of 23-24, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to go back.
You know, to be a great and a great player, you have to be an available player.
That's fair.
And, you know, I mean, John, he hadn't played. And, I mean, I just don't think he's been a superstar. I hate that we probably didn't trade him sooner when we really could have got something for him. What do you think we're going to get for him? I mean, I don't think we're going to get that much for him. Do you?
I think we'll probably get, like, you know, maybe Morgan Stone and, you know, Michael Hatcher down there at Skybox for Ja at this point. I think that's the best we could do. No, I mean, I don't know. I think that's the issue is that they're going to have to deter. I don't know how. And Frank, thanks for the call. We got a few more that we got to get to, but I think that's going to be the challenge here as I just sort of talk through this, Jason, is like, what's the baseline for value? Because obviously they're saying it's not Trae Young because they're not going to take that, but it's not Luka either. It can't be Luka because, you know, Luka was, you know, five time all NBA guy and was coming off a finals run and plays. So it's like somewhere in the middle of that.
One of our callers there said superstar player. You're not getting a superstar point guard back for Ja Morant. That's not, and especially one that plays. Like what team is going to do that? At least I'll say this. I would think that Grizzlies know that it's got to be about young players and picks. Can you get both? Can you get one young player? But either way, that's the route now, and how high that level can be, you know. Ja's put you in he's backed you into a corner here. The whole NBA knows the deal now.
Yep.
And so, and the idea that, you know, I know they put that out there, but the idea that you could bring him back and this all after this,
yep,
it's just far-fetched. So my point is that leverage is lost, league knows, and it could lower, you know, what kind of pick that looks like, what kind of young player that is. That said, it needs to be either a combination of or those things, and maybe, you know. See, I mean, the deal for Atlanta led to flexibility. That's the thing, is they're not looking for C.J. McCollum to be a part of the future. They're getting off that contract, that expiring contract.
Yep.
That's not the deal for us. We need young player, need pick as well. Picks, either way. But that's got to be the direction.
Right. 445-0929, we go to Philip. Philip, you're on.
Yo, can y'all hear me? Yo,
yes,
yo.
We got you,
dog. What's up?
Man, I'm so disappointed, man, because I feel like we gave away the only superstar we ever had.
Well, he hasn't been traded yet.
You're right about that, but I know they finna get rid of him because they choosing a coach, a first-time coach, over a superstar player. Memphis has never had a superstar. Jaren is not a superstar. Ja is a superstar. We don't treat him like a superstar. And that's why he's finna go. That's all I got to say, bro.
I would argue we've treated him too much like he's a superstar. In a lot of cases, he's gotten the kid gloves.
Right. No, I agree.
You've backed him too much. You haven't held him responsible and accountable enough.
And I would also...
I'd argue that.
I mean, Ja is a superstar. He absolutely is. However, don't get caught up in the idea of what Ja used to be. Like, he's not that guy anymore, unfortunately. Like, for the Grizzlies, he's not going to be. Now, he may be like a Dylan Brooks, who goes to another place. He may be a Jake LaRavia, who goes to another place, gets away from Memphis, and all of a sudden, chip on the shoulder. I mean, I can see that easily.
I think
happening.
That's likely.
It probably, at least for the beginning. You know, whether it will be the case in 26, 27 remains to be seen. But
I'll go back to you, man. Frank, when's the last time you've been a superstar consistently?
Right.
He might flash it. He did against Philly. But I'm talking about superstars stay out there. Superstars don't shoot 20% from three-point range. Like, what are we talking? Superstars, they play. And we haven't seen that consistently now for years. And so it goes back to that. When's the last time he's done it? We've seen the flashes. No, we always
probably
hold
21, 22, I mean.
Yeah, we hold the flashes against Gigi. We say, well, you flash, but you can't do it consistently when given the opportunity.
He makes too many in a year.
That's the problem with Ja lately, man. Just too many flashes.
Too many flashes.
Not enough trust. That you're going to be out there.
Yep. 445-0929. We're going to continue taking your calls. You want to get a word in on Ja Morant being on the trade block. We go to Tom. Tom, you're on.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up?
You know, it's kind of a strange parallel with both Memphis teams. You've got Ja Morant, who came in at a transitional time from the grit and grind area, was the great hope for the Grizzlies, superstar, becoming the face of the NBA franchise, Nike pitching in. Then you had Penny Hardaway coming in for the Tigers, former superstar, going to save the program, revitalize it. Penny wanted all the smoke, it blew up in his face. Ja came in, let the money and the fame get to him and became very immature. And Ja hasn't grown from that. Penny has at least grown. We haven't really seen it on the floor, but he's at least admitted, hey, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Just because I know basketball, it's hard to get it to transition to the players. Ja came in, you know, got penalized for the gun stuff and the immaturity, and he never recovered from that. It's like he took his ball and went home and started pouting, and he's been in a pout injury mode since. But we've at least seen the growth from Penny. So, you know, maybe I wish the best for Ja. He could be a good player, but it's going to take some growing up.
Tom, thanks for the call.
Agree with a lot of what you said, Tom.
Jason, one thing, we're going to continue taking calls. One thing that's interesting to me is that, like, there's not outrage. Most people who, and this is very, very unscientific, you know, sample.
No, there's no outrage.
But there are, people are not like, how could you possibly do this to us? Maybe one guy. But the majority of the callers that we've talked to are completely understandable.
That's the point I was making before we opened it up to calls, is there's not going to be, I said, this swell of outrage because Ja has put you in this position. I think most of it, and our callers seem to be reflecting that, understand he's put you in this position. This isn't the idea that the Grizz, you know, that he's still this star that's doing it every night. And what are the Grizz doing? Like it was with Luka, who had led them to a finals. Mm. This fan base understands that Ja had put them in that position, so there can't be outrage. What it's more of is, damn.
It's accountability for Ja.
It's understanding that Ja's put you in this position. It's probably blaming him and saying, as our last caller just did, frankly, you needed him to move differently. We've been saying this for years.
Exactly.
Whether it's off the court or on.
Exactly. Let's go to Corey in Bartlett. Corey, you're on.
Hey, Jason and John, listen to your show all of the time.
Thank you, bro.
I want to say that I'm on the other side. I kind of disagree with most of the callers. I think this goes back to Zach Kleiman and the coach, Isolo. I think that if we made a better pick in the beginning of the year and we went with a seasoned veteran coach, all of this stuff that's going on with Ja this year would be totally different. So I'm for 12. I think he needs to be here. He takes our team to a different level, and it's hard to get a player like him. I don't want to say he's a generational player, but he's a player that the Grizzlies have never had. And we need to see him on the floor along with Edie, along with Jaren. And I think that we can actually make a push to make it in a play-in. But to me, it goes back to Kleiman. It goes back to Isolo. I think if we moved in a different direction and we got a different coach in the beginning of the year, things would be different for the Memphis Grizzlies. And that's all I got to say.
Thanks for the call, Corey. Certainly understand that position as well. I don't think it's an easy thing. It sucks. It definitely sucks. And then I just think about the return. If they end up pulling the trigger on a deal, the return, people are going to be like, that's it? I promise you they're going to say
well,
that.
Well, maybe there's a little bit more outrage once the return.
Right, that's probably true.
There's hope now.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying star
that's
point
a good
guard
point.
Coming.
I mean, people didn't even like the Marc Gasol return. And it ended up being great, like with Valanciunas and stuff.
That's awesome.
But people didn't like it at the time. They're like, that's all you got? Because they didn't get anything else. They basically got yelled at. Maybe they got
end
a pick
of
out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you didn't really get much. Latrell, you're on.
What's up, guys?
Yo.
Man, no, I don't want them to get rid of Ja for sure. Ja is a superstar. But unless they get like AJ, the Banser, I mean, that would be great. But other than that, man, I don't think we need to get rid of Ja. And then maybe the coach, but not Ja.
Latrell, appreciate the call. 445-0929 is the number. You want to get in on Ja Morant and be on the trade block? Now is the time to do it. We go to Tony. Tony, you're on.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Tony?
I'm in Dallas today, and this town will tell you, you don't get rid of this kind of caliber player because, number one, Memphis has a problem putting butts in the seat. Corey summed it up to a lot. And if you had gotten a seasoned coach, none of this would have happened. I mean, you picking a coach, number one, every year we didn't got rid of a player trying to fix pieces and stuff like that. Nothing has worked. But one thing I do know, selling tickets do. And especially during a time when you're in the midst of negotiating and there's rumors that this team might move up to Nashville, 280 miles away, I think that you might as well put a stamp on them and send them on up there because you get rid of this guy. I don't see nobody in the city walking around with other players' numbers. When I go out of town, they wear 12. Nobody else is selling jerseys like this guy. It's a business, too. So, like I said, I think Zach Kleiman and Isolo need to go before John did.
I appreciate it, Tony. Can't run a business when somebody ain't showing up to work.
Well, hey,
you know
if
that.
He's hurt, he hurt. If he's hurt, he hurt.
I mean,
he stays hurt, Tony. And then he's right. or he's moody. You know, it's always one thing or another, right? Yeah, that's okay.
Well, and let me say this on that point about the season. First of all, Nashville is ridiculous. And they're not moving to Nashville. Secondly, John's not selling season tickets anymore.
Facts.
If you buy season tickets expecting to see Ja Morant, you're an idiot. I mean, I hate to say it.
And he was saying all the right things.
I hate to say it.
It's just true. It's just true.
If you're a Grizzlies fan buying season tickets, there is no way you're doing it saying, man, I'm excited to get to watch Ja Morant play this year.
I mean, did we not just have a caller that said he had done that? It was his first year?
Well, I'm just saying that.
Yes, caller said that. First caller.
I'm just saying.
But Ja doesn't play is my point. Like,
yeah, I know, but Ja was saying. I mean, yeah. I get what you're saying because as an investment, when you look at Ja's record and you say this guy doesn't play, but that's a brother right there who's deciding whether or not to spend the money with his son.
That's right.
And he's listening to Ja Morant say, I like Isolo.
Right.
Right? The last nine games were good. Sure, we bowed out, but said all the right things and believing he's going to be healthy and the organization holding him to a standard of you've got to be out there. But more importantly, Ja was the one that said,
well, Ja fell
short. I'm going to play all these games.
Ja fell short.
So for that man, I'm not calling him an idiot. I'm telling him I feel terrible for him.
I don't mean because, it in a literal sense, but I'm just
no.
I'm,
you, I get. It.
I understand what you're saying, but you gotta pull that back a little bit because people, it's been us constantly hoping whether we bought the season tickets or not, constantly hoping that this guy's gonna grow up and deliver for us. So I don't blame anybody for doing it because we were just there with them.
Right.
Hell, we weren't stepping up with. I wasn't. Can't afford, but we weren't stepping up with the money. They did, so I'm not gonna blame them for doing that, especially when Josh saying
no,
technically all the
no,
right things.
No, the onus is totally on John Morant.
I get what you're
totally
saying, looking at what he's done.
He's given you a pattern. You know
that's
what
also
he is.
Basically saying, well, don't go support the last season tickets now because the local franchise ain't got a damn thing to show you.
No, I don't want to do that. You should buy season tickets to see the other players. You know,
that's what you say to the caller. Cedric Howard's worth buying a jersey for. That's what it would look like with the way this man comes to work.
Yes.
And the freak that he is, the way he wants to guard everybody. Now, could we get to a point where Cedric Howard can't play? And all of a sudden, that reaches a crossroads. I mean, again, we're not just talking about Ja Morant can't play. Sometimes it feels like he doesn't want to.
Yes.
That was halftime of the Lakers. We're in the middle of things going good. And it flipped on you. That's my point. Is this is the guy. Forget, set Jaren to the side, although financially you have paid him. This is the one you're trying to wrap everything around. And when he's constantly flipping, what do you have? You have an absolute mess. You have something you can't trust. You don't have something that's foundational.
Exactly. Let's go to Walter. We got a couple more here, Jason. Let's go to Walter. Walter, you're on.
Okay, thank you, guys. How you doing?
Yo.
All right. My brother tells me all the time, I'm a Tiger fan, I'm a Grizzly fan, and I'm a Cowboy fan. But my thing is, I agree with Jason. If somebody is not coming to work, how can you pay somebody who's not coming to work? I don't know why some of these people are calling and saying, keep Ja on the team. Ja does not want to be here. Understand? Look at what's happening on the court. He does not want to be here. If somebody does not want to be somewhere, you do not keep them there. You don't hold them hostage. You let them go.
Tomlin. So I want volunteers, not hostages.
I just don't understand.
Yep. To your point.
Right. You don't hold somebody. So I don't know what Ja's issue is. I work every day, 8 to 5. I have to earn my check. So, like you say, Jason, if you're not coming to work, you don't get paid.
We can
take a couple of sick days off of work, but eventually your job's going to get tired. You call me every week. Okay, this guy, he's not dependable. So, to make that type of money, wherever Jar goes, he's not avoiding Memphis. His problem is himself. So, he has to look in the mirror and understand what his issues are. So, it's growing up, maturing, and taking care of his business. But right now, I say, let him go.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it. You grow up in Memphis, Tennessee, man. What you learn, you got to come to work. Isn't that why we love Z-Bo?
Yes,
isn't that why we love Z-Bo? He came to work. That's why we appreciate Cedric Howard. You know? Yeah.
And Z-Bo said, if you love Memphis, Memphis is going to love you back. Jar does not reciprocate that. So, hey, if you don't want to be here, I wish him the best. And I don't know where these other callers are calling from saying, we need him on the court. No, he's not even on the court. He's here, but he's not there. Now, Jaren Jackson is a superstar. He's not a superstar as compared to Ja Morant. But Jaren Jackson played the other night. He was sick.
Come to work.
Come on.
Came to work.
Yeah, he's coming to work. I mean, give credit where credit is due. Because Ja was this is that, he's not that. Let him go. Memphis has always done well with whatever he gets. So, hey, I enjoy you guys' show. Memphis, let him go.
Appreciate the call, bro.
We're going to take three more, and then we'll hit a break here. John, you're on.
Hey, fellas, how we doing?
What's up,
John?
The idea that Ja Morant doesn't want to be here doesn't make any sense at all, given the fact that he tattooed the logo of the Grizzlies on his back. And in his when he signed his extension, he didn't put a player option in it, which is basically him just saying, I'm not going to tell this team no. I'm not going to try to opt out in free agency. I want to be here. Now, the idea that we need to trade Ja Morant is absurd because I heard other people say they don't want to call him a generational talent. He is a generational talent. Is he injured a lot? Yes. Has he had some off-the-court issues? Yes. Does that mean that you give him away for a bag of peanuts? No. Does that mean that you give him away for a stack of gold? No, not when you're Memphis, Tennessee. The reason why, we will never see a player of this caliber who gets this many eyeballs on our team and on our city for another 20 years.
I mean, that's probably true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the right time to do this and your only decision. So I think all those things are true at the same time that, yeah, you know, you have a superstar, you have somebody that's, you know, done incredible things for you, but those things are in the past for the most part. I got to operate with what I got now. I can't just keep living in the 2021-22.
It was an incredible one playoff series win.
Right. You telling me that
it was one. It wasn't a run to the finals.
And they trailed for more minutes in that series than the Timberwolves did. So, I mean.
But our caller could be absolutely right that we might not see a talent like his again for another 20 years. It could be forever. But you don't do this and allow somebody to keep coming to work.
I know that a Grizzlies team with a lot less talent got a lot further than the ones that had Ja on it. So it's not, I mean, yeah. This is the reality. Go to MC and then C. MC, you're on.
Hey.